This episode is sponsored by Lockheed Martin. At Lockheed Martin, veterans are at the center of everything they do. In fact, one in five of their employees has served in uniform. Lockheed Martin is proud to help men and women like you successfully transition into civilian careers. Join Lockheed Martin and you will find opportunities to take on the same kind of long-term, challenging assignments you tackled while in the military. Whether you're on active duty, transitioning, or already embarking on your civilian career, Lockheed Martin's Military Connect is your online community for professional support. You can find out more at lockheedmartin.bravenew.com. That's lockheedmartin.bravenew.com. Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and my goal is to help military veterans succeed in their civilian career. Today's episode number 214 with Beth Finbow.
But I never had any idea of what I was going to have enough passion about to take that leap, because watching my dad with his business, I know how hard it is. So I never had anything in my life that I felt that passionate enough about to take the leap until last year. At age 40, I had my first child, and I thought this is the time I need to figure out what it is that I can do and start my own business. And literally the next day, I went out to lunch with some girlfriends, and they brought their two babies, and the entire meal was spent trying to keep things out of baby's reach, giving them something acceptable to play with. They would just throw that on the ground. It was just a really big distraction. So I went online and tried to find something to buy for my son so that we could go out to eat and he wouldn't kind of be that distraction. And I couldn't find anything. So that's what started all this. I just tried to start creating something that would do the trick.
Special thanks to Bunker Labs for putting me in contact with Beth. While I've had a lot of guests on the show to talk about entrepreneurship, Beth is in the trenches right now and towards the starting point of her own entrepreneurial journey. In this raw interview, Beth opens up about a Kickstarter campaign she just launched that didn't work out as she hoped and what she learned from that. She talks about the imposter syndrome and what it's like to not feel like a real entrepreneur. She talks about working a full-time job, starting her company, and raising her son while not dropping the ball on any of those three. We talk about Bunker Labs, dreaming big and going for it, doing what you want to do, setting boundaries in your life, getting enough sleep, and fusing the gaps in your day. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find show notes for this episode with links to everything we discuss. You'll find links to our coaching program, where you can get subsidized one-on-one coaching to help you figure out your ideal career and more. So with that, let's dive in to my conversation with Beth. Joining me today in Rochester, Minnesota is Beth Finbow. Beth, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to give listeners a quick background on Beth, and special thanks to Tim O'Neill and the Bunker Labs team for putting me in contact with Beth. We're going to talk mostly about her entrepreneurial journey, which is in progress as we speak. But Beth is an enterprise account manager at Cardinal Health, which is a global integrated healthcare services and products company. She started out in the Army as a cryptological linguist and broadcast journalist, where she served for over 10 years. Since her military service, she has worked at the National Guard Bureau and Aludic. So maybe, Beth, to start things off, one of the first things that caught my eye was that you served in the Army and you left at that 10-year point, which I know is a difficult decision for a lot of people to make the decision to stay into retirement at that point or to get out. Could you talk about how you approached that decision?
Sure. It was a difficult decision. It was actually difficult at my 5-year mark, which was when I first reenlisted, because I enjoyed my time in the military, but I also wanted more control over my life to live where I wanted to live and move when I wanted to move. And you don't have that in the military. But at my 5-year point, when I decided to reenlist, I reenlisted because I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go or how to do any of it. I was not prepared for civilian life, so I reenlisted. When I got to that 10-year mark, again, I had fantastic experiences in the military. Thought about staying, but also wanted that control over where I was going to be or where I could be. My brother was starting a family. I didn't want to miss out on that. So I ultimately made the decision to get out at that 10-year mark, just to be closer to home and closer to family.
And I'm wondering, what was the first job search like when you were out of the Army? And in particular, what do you wish you had done differently?
Sure. The first job search was after college. So when I got out, the first thing I did was finish school. Society and everyone says you need to have that degree. So I went to school and got my degree in business. And at the time, the economy was low and it was really hard. But I had a part-time job at Target when I was in the college finishing up. And I applied for a management position at Target. I had leadership positions in the military. I thought it would be a good fit for me. I interviewed well the first two rounds of interviews. The third interview I got to, they ultimately did not hire me. And they made a comment that I find now very relevant to this conversation. They said that they really liked me, my personality, my drive, my work ethic, all these great things that I had gained through my military experience. However, the one thing they were concerned about was they weren't sure if employees would commit to me as a leader or simply comply with me. And that really struck me because I still had that military mindset of I'm in charge and the people below me will do what I tell them, because that's kind of how it is in the military. If you're below someone, you do what they tell you to do. You don't really ask questions. And in the civilian world, it's not like that. So I had to kind of learn how to be a human again and not just a soldier, and learn how civilian life works. It's not you just answer to whoever outranks you. You have to treat people and interact with people in a more human, caring way. So I didn't get the job with Target. I then went into looking for more government-based jobs because I felt that's where I was more comfortable, in that sector where people still did understand rank and structure in the same way I did. So I looked for a government job on Fort Carson for a while, and then I got a job working with the National Guard Bureau. So that was another government job working with military people, and was able to kind of stay in that safe place at that time. So that's how it all started out. It took me a long time to transition out of military thinking and become a civilian corporate employee.
And at what point did you decide, I want to start a company?
I've actually wanted to be an entrepreneur my entire life. My dad's an entrepreneur. I loved the fact that he was able to take part in my sports and education and activities. He could walk away from his business to take part in those things and have that extra freedom, like I guess the freedom I mentioned in the beginning of this conversation, where I want to be able to choose when and where I go somewhere, do anything, and be responsible for myself and the consequences that I get myself into, I guess. But I never had any idea of what I was going to have enough passion about to take that leap, because watching my dad with his business, I know how hard it is, and you have to have passion to make it continue. So I never had anything in my life that I felt that passionate enough about to take the leap until last year. At age 40, I had my first child, and I spent 24/7 with my baby during maternity leave. And then I returned to work and had a long commute and long days. And I went from spending all day with my son to seeing him for maybe an hour a day during the work week. And I thought, this is the time I need to figure out what it is that I can do and start my own business. And literally the next day I went out to lunch with some girlfriends, and they brought their two babies, and the entire meal was spent trying to keep things out of baby's reach, giving them something acceptable to play with. They would just throw that on the ground. One of the moms was a big germaphobe, so she would wipe things down every single time. It was just a really big distraction. So I went online and tried to find something to buy for my son so that we could go out to eat and he wouldn't kind of be that distraction. And I couldn't find anything. So that's what started all of this. I just tried to start creating something that would do the trick.
That's so awesome. I love that that sense of the desire to be an entrepreneur and not having that. It sounds like it's not even not having the idea, but I love that thought of like really wanting something that you're that passionate about, and that that your experience bore out that that realization around that pain point or something that would help you and I imagine help a lot of people. Where did you go from there then? Like from that lunch and then you realize there's not a solution, how did you start to make things happen?
It's kind of funny. I had a concept in my brain, and so I went down to my basement and I found a tube of silicone caulk and I squirted it into a small baking pan to make a silicone placemat. That was my very first prototype. And from there, I kind of made some different iterations from things I ordered on Amazon and cut and glued together to try and make it work. I started playing with the idea, and at the time, it was just a fun idea. And then I made one for a friend who had a baby as well, and she said, "This is amazing. This is awesome. You need to make these for real." So at that point, I thought, yeah, I could do this. I could make this for real, but I don't really know how to go about doing that. Even though I went to school for business and I've seen my dad as an entrepreneur, how do you take this concept, this idea, and make it an actual product that you could sell on Amazon or in a store? And so that was at that point, I reached out to a good friend of mine from the Army who recommended that I reach out to Bunker Labs. And that's what really set me on my journey to where I'm at now.
We've had Tim Connor from Bunker Labs and a couple people from Bunker Labs on the show before. I'll add those episodes to the show notes for listeners. But what was your experience like with Bunker Labs, and how did it help you move your idea forward?
Bunker Labs, I took part in their in-person launch lab cohort. So they do an online version, which is also really great. But for me, I'm a better learner in person. So I was 12 weeks, drove up to Minneapolis from Rochester, which is about an hour, one night a week. And we had instruction from a University of Minnesota instructor. We had someone from Small Business Development Center there. We had Tim O'Neill, who's got experience starting his own business as well. And then they would bring in experts in the field of, you know, accounting, legal, marketing to help us learn what is entrepreneurship. And it's a really great program that starts you out first looking at what is your business? Can you define what it is? And then interview people who you don't know and make sure what you want to do is something that the market actually wants. So that's kind of how it started. And then it just gave structure to the process of how do you start a business. And it gave me the confidence to make decisions and start to invest money into my product. And it's just been an incredible resource with connections. I got a contact for a patent attorney through Bunker Labs, someone that I felt I could trust because it was a referral through a network of people that I trust. So it continues to be a huge benefit to me, even though I finished the classes in April. Bunker Labs still helps me by having a network of resources to reach out to.
That's great. And I can imagine the benefit of having that structure in a career path that is probably on the far extreme of ambiguity and lack of structure, to have some sort of not cookie cutter, but some sort of template applied, and then a network of people who have been through similar processes that can share their experience. I bet that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it's really helpful. And I think one thing that I think of that's great about veterans and working in a veteran network of people is that we all have similar experiences, and we've all heard the things that make veterans great employees, our work ethic, our commitment, things like that. But I think a couple qualities of veterans that we don't see in ourselves necessarily as much as those other things is our ability to learn new things and to help each other. The teamwork in the military is just there. It's you help your unit, you help your team, you help each other, and that carries on. And you feel this camaraderie with other veterans that are in the entrepreneurial space trying to help each other and get ahead in their own journey. And this ability to learn that we have, a lot of people I've talked to, other veterans, say, well, I just, you know, was a heavy wheel mechanic in the Army. I didn't really do anything special. The thing that's special about it is when you went into the military, you probably didn't know anything about being a heavy wheel mechanic, but you had the ability to learn a completely new skill out of nowhere and be successful in it. And that doesn't go away. the ability to learn a new skill is such a huge benefit and is something that I think veterans don't think about as they transition out of the military. Maybe they think they've got to go back to what they were doing before, or something relevant to the field they were in. But you can literally learn anything brand new. And I don't think we give ourselves enough credit to know that we can do that.
That's such a great endorsement for not just entrepreneurship, but I just think any career transition of, I think people often don't realize what they bring to the table, or they might not be as aware of their key strengths. And you're articulating a great one, which is the ability to learn quickly and also to operate in a fairly ambiguous environment and to rapidly become an expert on something. And I think that's it's great that you're pointing that out. One thing I'll just point out for listeners is one tool that I found effective on this is coaching. We do have a coaching program as part of Beyond the Uniform that puts you in contact with subsidized professional coaches. And one of the things they do is they go through values work, they go through strengths assessments, things like that, to help you uncover other things like that. But I think that's great that Beth is pointing out that shared strength that people might not realize they have, which is that ability to learn really quickly. Where is the company at now? What's the name of the company, and kind of what phase are you in right now?
So the company is called Busy Baby. It is a limited liability corporation. So I did set that up right away to make things official. I actually set up the LLC before I even had a prototype made. I just knew that I had to commit to it and put it out there and make it happen and then continue to move forward. So it's an LLC. I have done professional product development, so I made several versions of the mat. And I guess to give some background, the Busy Baby mat is a silicone place mat for infants and toddlers. It has suction cups on the bottom and suctions to a tabletop surface or any smooth surface. And then it has these tethers that you can attach to the toys, any toys for your baby, and then attach the tether to the mat. So then when babies drop or throw things, they stay within arm's reach. It really ends that cycle of throwing toys at the table, and it's got some other uses too off the tabletop. In the bathtub, you can put it on the wall of the bathtub and keep baby from squirming around so much, and a few other uses. So I made my own prototypes from things I bought and cut and glued together from Amazon. And then I went to a big trade show to learn more about the industry and got connected to some professional product developers out in Utah. So those guys have been working with me to get the final designs and CAD drawings and all that done. And we're currently ready to start manufacturing. I'm just trying to raise the capital to pay for manufacturing.
And since you're in it, I think it's really helpful. How are you approaching that of raising funding? Like, are you thinking of going to angel investors? Are you thinking of doing a Kickstarter? Like, what's the process right now on that?
It is it's tough. We are wrapping up a failed Kickstarter this week, actually. I tried to do Kickstarter, found that Kickstarter is really hard, especially for baby products, but a lot of people don't know or understand how Kickstarter works. I found to be my biggest challenge. So I had a goal of 45,000. We raised 10,000 in just the first 4 days. So I was pretty optimistic and hopeful, and it's still impressive to get $10,000 in sales for a product that doesn't even exist. But then it kind of stalled out and it hasn't gotten close to the goal. And if you don't meet your financial goal on Kickstarter, you get nothing and nobody gets charged. And it's just a failed campaign, which actually turned out to be good for me. I kind of pivoted and came up with a new strategy. And I am looking right now at some options for just getting some money to do one of my product lines. So the product line I developed has two different sizes of the mats, two different kinds of tethers, and then some accessory teething toys that go with it. So instead of producing the entire product line, I'm just going to start with the small mat and the tethers that go with it, and then expand from there as I get more money. Talking to some of these angel investors and investment groups, I've actually done a few pitches. I'm not in a place where investors are really interested, because your pre-revenue, pre-manufacturing investors really want to put a big chunk of money into something that is going to make a lot of money. And I don't have that proven success yet. So it's not something they're really interested in at this point. So once I get these first mats out there and get some sales, that's when I would go back and start talking to the investors to say, look, this product, you know, I sold 5,000 of them. People like them. I want to make the rest. Let's team up and do it.
I've never used Kickstarter, but I've heard similar complaints. It's kind of, it seems like sometimes I talk with people and it's like there, people will think something about, let's say, YouTube, where it's like, oh yeah, YouTube, you know, you put a video up and then you get a bunch of followers and you make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. And it's like, yes, that is the 0.00001% of YouTube content creators. Most people, they throw a video up and it gets no views. It gets no traction. And it seems similar with Kickstarter, where they've got this perception, I think, that it's like, oh yeah, throw it on Kickstarter, raise a bunch of money, yada yada yada, and it all works out. And the number of people I talk to where they're like, man, Kickstarter is like really hard to do well. Like you get spotlight for the one or two each year that do really well there, but for the most part, I think a lot of people's experiences are similar to yours. And I didn't actually realize that about if you don't hit the goal, you don't get that money. And I can only imagine how frustrating that is to have, I'm looking at your page right now, $12,906. That is a fantastic amount of money, 182 different backers. And then to have that not materialize must be so frustrating.
Yeah, it's frustrating, and it's also sad, because that's 180 people who really want this product that aren't going to get it, at least not through that means. So I am launching a new website on the 1st, so in a couple days, and the website will have the ability to place pre-orders. So I'll send messages out to my Kickstarter backers and let them know they can do it that way, and hopefully they'll just follow over to the website and we'll keep moving forward.
And for listeners, this will go just because of the delay in recording. By the time you're listening to this, Beth's new website is live. I'll have a link to it in the show notes, but it is, correct me if I'm wrong on this, I just had it open in a tab. Sorry.
I'll help you out. It's busybabymat.com.
Busybabymat.com. What's the, and you've got a video there, you've got images of it. What's the rough cost that people can expect on this?
The small mat is going to be the first one released, and that's going to retail for $24.99. The mat comes with two tethers, and then you can buy some additional tethers also.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I have my first baby due in January, end of January. So we will add this to our baby registry. But I think it makes a ton of sense, having been around kids at meals, and they don't seem to be the most captive audience. They seem to be quite a handful. It seems like a great idea to keep the kid occupied.
Yeah, first of all, congratulations. That's awesome. I'm so excited for you to have it. It changes your life. Everybody says that, but until it happens to you, you just really don't appreciate it. Mm. And in about, I would say about June, July, you're really going to want this mat. It's how babies learn. They grab things. They learn how to use their fingers, and they move them, and then they just drop things. It's not like they're being little jerks throwing stuff. They grow into the little jerks that throw stuff, but that's what they do, is they move their hands and fingers, and they will drop things. And the other thing they learn about their environment is by putting things in their mouth. So once a baby has dropped its thing on a dirty restaurant floor, you give it back. The first thing it's probably going to do is put it in its mouth, because that's how they learn. So I think the mat is not only good for just sanity and reducing stress to keep the baby busy, but also to keep baby safer. And it's a clean surface for putting their food. You'll definitely want it this next summer.
I'm going to pre-order one once that's up. I encourage listeners to as well, and there'll be a link in the show notes as well. One question I have, just because, you know, you are in the thick of it right now. What's something that you talked about your father being an entrepreneur, you talked about this long time drive to be an entrepreneur. Now that you're in it, what's something that stands out to you, that's something you didn't realize about it before you went down this path?
I guess I didn't realize how much it's an emotional roller coaster, and I wake up some days on top of the world and I think I'm just killing it because I'm doing my research. I'm going down every path. I'm reaching out to mentors. I'm doing all these great things and learning all these great things. And then there's some days I wake up and with horrible imposter syndrome. What am I doing in this field? What am I trying to accomplish here? I don't know what I'm doing. And I think it's a natural thing that happens probably with most entrepreneurs. I think it happens with people, you know, it's happened in my corporate job when I started a new job. It's, you know, some days I think I'm learning everything and keeping pace. And then something comes my way that I don't understand. It's like, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? I'm an imposter in this corporate world. I'm just a, you know, an army girl that doesn't belong here. So just trying to mentally manage that emotional roller coaster and having the courage and strength and faith in yourself has been more than I anticipated. But I think actually my military experience gives me a little bit of an edge in that department because I'm able to identify it right away and think, you know, I've been through way worse things in life than this. I can totally do this.
I completely relate to when I started my first company, I felt like for over a year, I felt like the image I kept on having was, you know, me as a little kid wearing my dad's suit top, you know, like his suit jacket, and being like, "Oh, look at me! I'm an adult. I'm a business person," and that's what I felt like every single day was like, "Oh, this is such a sham! Like I'm just pretending to be an entrepreneur," and I cut costs on everything, which I think is something most entrepreneurs have to do. But the one thing I ended up doing was I spent, it was like $300 a month for an office at Regis. This was like before WeWork and all of that. But it was like, man, I can't scrimp there. I feel like an imposter enough. At least if I have an office, it makes me feel a little bit more credible. But I remember struggling with that a lot too, of feeling just like I was just playing make-believe.
Yeah, I think it's pretty common.
Yeah. What about could you talk about, because you are, while you're doing this, so you're not just a mom right now, you're not just getting Busy Baby Matt off the ground, but you're also working full-time at Cardinal Health. Could you talk about what it's like to work and be starting a company and also why you've chosen that path?
Wow. So I chose, I guess, the path of doing all these things at once is I got to keep paying my mortgage because Busy Baby is not making any money yet. So I have to keep working my job. I'm actually hiding in a corner office at the Mayo Clinic right now. I'm visiting customers today. But it's all about fusing the gaps. There's little gaps in your day, 15 minutes here, 20 minutes there. And that's where I work in the Busy Baby stuff throughout my day. Being a mom, I want to make sure I don't look back on this time and realize I missed the first 2 years of my son's life because I was so focused on this new adventure. So I try to dedicate at least 2-3 hours every day from when I pick him up at daycare to when he goes to bed to put the phone away, put the computer away, and focus only on our family time. So that helps keep me grounded and actually it's a built-in break to give my brain a rest from trying to juggle the day job and the business. But it's really just all out of necessity. I mean, I need this business to work. I want it to work so that I can have that control of my life. And I need to just keep doing the corporate job to pay the mortgage and pay the bills until the business, you know, makes it a good replacement.
I think it's so great. And I think you are so representative of every entrepreneur who is in the trenches. And the truth is that unless someone comes from a very fortunate family background, or they have a spouse that's making a lot of money, or they had a very lucrative career, which most of us from the military did not have, there's no other way to do this. And I think a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs don't realize how long it takes, first of all, to make money from a new product that you bring into the world, and then how long on top of that until it makes enough money that you can even pay yourself money and not just have the money going back into the company. And I think that what you're doing is very representative of the entrepreneur, the vast majority of entrepreneurs that have to treat this as a nights and weekend project. Or I like that you, the way that you put it, fusing the gaps in your day. And what I admire about this is I imagine this makes you more productive. And I imagine the creativity and the energy and the learning that you're getting from Busy Baby Matt is giving you more energy and giving you more passion for your day job and for parenting. And I really admire how you've carved out, I think a lot. I think the popular story with entrepreneurship is, well, you just put everything else on hold and you work 24 hours a day on this. And I respect that you're carving out those 2 to 3 hours per day to have that time with your son. I think that's like must be a very difficult thing to do. And I just feel like that's such a great thing to do because so often, I think that your company could be all-consuming at the cost of your relationship with your son, and then it's like, why are you doing that? So I think it's really admirable what you're doing there and the example you're setting for other entrepreneurs that you can do that. You can still have your family be a priority and be launching a company.
Yeah, I mean that's so true, and it's so important because you're in not just relationship with my son, but with his dad and with my friends and my family. And if you, it's very easy for the business to consume you because you just want to give it your all. But it's those relationships around you that support you and keep you sane through the process. And the other thing to mention too is sleep. You can't burn the candle at both ends. You have to have a time where you just turn it off, and you have to get at least, 6, 7 hours of sleep minimum. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to do all these things at the same time.
I 100% agree. I'm grateful that I think that that topic is starting to get more and more attention in popular media. But I think that the stereotype that we're fighting is great entrepreneurs get an hour of sleep a night, and that's just they do that for years. And when I started Storybox, there was at least a year where I was probably sleeping very often 4 hours a night, and I look back and I'm like, what an idiot. Like, I felt maybe energized because I'm like, wow, I'm doing this entrepreneur thing. And I know I wasn't as creative as I could have been. I wasn't as focused as I could have been. The amount of coffee I was drinking and the amount of productivity lost because I was operating on fumes. Like, that's not how you would train for an athletic competition. And I think entrepreneurship is very similar. And so, I have fortunately shifted to focus on getting those 7 to 8 hours of sleep because I know that it makes me more productive when I'm actually on. And I love that you're calling that out.
Yeah, exactly. It's so true.
If someone listening, I know a lot of listeners to the show aspire to be entrepreneurs. I know you've already given a lot of recommendations, but is there anything we haven't covered that you would give advice to someone who's thinking of starting a company?
I think there's a lot of people out there in the military that want to start a company. I've heard some stats of at least 50% of veterans have a desire to start a business, and I would say absolutely go for it. Dream big and dream bigger than even what you think you can do. I would have never thought that at this late stage of my life, I would be doing these brand new things. I mean, trying to raise a baby at, this age is I never thought that would have happened. And then trying to start a brand new company, doing something I know nothing about is all new. And it's so exhilarating and it's so awesome and it's such a great feeling. And I think the last 10 years of my life, I've limited myself to what society thought I should do or what you're expected to do, go to school and get a career and go down a certain path, whatever your family expects you to do. But just do what you want to do. You'll be so much happier and reach out to all the resources starting now. If you've got an idea, a dream, start reaching out now, regardless of when you're getting out or start while you're in.
Yeah, that's great. And in addition to Bunker Labs, are there any other resources you would recommend people checking out? That could be an organization, it could be a website or a podcast or a book or just anything that might help them.
The things that I've done is reached out to local. There's always local organizations that will help as well. In Minneapolis, there's an organi or a research library at JJ Hill that they hold events for entrepreneurs to do a practice pitch or to view pitches. It's called 1 Million Cups is the organization, and you can go and either give a pitch of your business idea or listen to other pitches and get feedback from peers. So there's no there's no risk. It's just saying it out loud, getting it out there, getting ideas from your peers. And there's a lot of retired business people that will come give their advice. So 1 million cups is a really great thing for if you're kind of already starting your entrepreneurship journey. I like to listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to Tim Ferriss a lot. I listen to Chase Jarvis is one. I was just trying to open up my podcast thing. Kevin Rose. Just anybody you find inspiring. Joe Rogan's another good one. Just to hear people's stories of positivity and how you can do it and hints and tips and tricks. And then just any other people you know who have done it, just reach out, ask people. People I have found are so generous with their time and their thoughts and to make connections. So I'll reach out randomly to someone and they'll give me a half hour of their time on the phone. And by the end of the conversation, they've connected me to 4 different people who can help me in my journey. So just reach out to people. Don't be afraid. People will talk to you and help you.
That's great. I'll give a plus one on 1 million cups. I've actually here in Denver, I've used 1 million cups for the company I work at, Schatzer, and I've also used them based on that experience for Beyond the Uniform. And in each case, it was my experience was with any organization, it's very easy. You get in your room and you kind of get in your way of thinking. And then when you're around an audience of 30 to 50 people with different backgrounds, and first of all, you're forced to explain what you do and what your key challenges are. And then you get peppered with, you know, it's a 6-minute presentation, at least in my case, it was a 6-minute presentation and like 20 minutes of group feedback. And so to get 20 minutes, I was just, I walked away each time with like 7 pages of notes of different ideas and people to reach out to and things I hadn't thought of. And it's such a great way to get fresh perspective, which is so valuable in any organization. And then on the podcast front, I'll have to check out Chase Jarvis and Kevin Rose. I have listened to a lot of Tim Ferriss and some of Joe Rogan. I'll add links to all of those in the show notes for listeners. But I agree, it's just helpful. I was just listening to Tim Ferriss over the weekend. It's just helpful hearing a high-achieving individual who he's interviewing and just getting little ideas of how to approach things differently or learning about other books or resources and different frameworks. And I always find, even if it's not what the person is saying that impacts me, it's the energy they're communicating that makes me feel like, oh, I want to get after it. I want to be more efficient. I want to be my best self. So I think those are all great recommendations. Well, I always like to keep the last question open-ended, which is we've covered a lot of ground on entrepreneurship and about balance and about bringing new ideas to life. Is there anything we haven't covered that you want to make sure listeners know before we wrap up?
Not really off the top of my mind. I guess what I would leave is if anybody wants to ask me anything, reach out. I will always respond because the help that I've gotten from people that I've reached out to I'm so grateful for it. This is hard and there's so much you don't know and you don't know what you don't know, which just, it compounds and it's been a nonstop learning curve. And every step of the way, I've reached out to somebody who's been generous with their time and helped me. And I think I would love to be able to pay that back, share my experience with anybody who's starting out. So, throw my email in the show notes and people can just reach out to me with any questions and I'll try and help as everyone has helped me so far.
That's great. And for listeners, I'll have that in the show notes, but it is busybabymat.com. I know that Beth's email address is on their website as well. And if you're listening to this, that means that Beth is now making pre-orders available for Busy Baby Matt. I'm going to pre-order one. I encourage you to do the same. And Beth, I really appreciate your sharing your story with us and the candor you brought to the conversation and wishing you the best of luck with Busy Baby Matt.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource.
There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyonduniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you can continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.